Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Happy New Year.
Oh, yeah. Happy New Year to you, too.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm super excited for today's show. It's such a beautiful story. A couple called and asked if I could connect to their son. And this young spirit comes in. I'm going to call him Gnome. And just to remind everybody, or for first-time listeners, we do not use their real names.
And I'm sorry, what name did you pick?
Gnome.
Like as in gnomes, like the little things that you're drawing?
Oh, but it's spelled N-O-A-M.
Okay.
All I do is I go...
I'm adjusting.
I just go on the internet and I type in names for Germany, names for China, yeah. Names for Egypt. Yeah. And I just try and find any random name of any culture on earth.
I love it.
Yeah. Just so that people...
For the record, that used to be my job for Coffee with the Sarlows. Yes. And she got so upset with me because she couldn't remember the names I was giving her.
You were picking three consonant names. Or what do you call it? Three syllable. Pardon me.
Yeah.
Three syllable, and I didn't want to have to remember all three syllables.
Jessica.
Anyway. Especially if it was a name that I had never even heard before.
Yeah, I get that.
Because I was trying to hold in my memory the story.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
I get it.
Like, yeah, it was too big of an ask.
All right, cool.
Okay.
You do you, Karen.
Thank you. So I connect to Gnome. And the first thing he says to me, Kelly, is my mom, when she found out I was pregnant, Karen, she bought a book.
Sorry. When she found out she was pregnant with Gnome?
Yeah.
Okay.
She bought a book. And he says, and then after that, like, she just kept buying books so that by the time I was born, she had this little library.
I get this woman. Yeah. I've connected to this woman.
And he says, but I want to point out that it was the first thing that she bought when she found out she was pregnant with me was a book. And I said, okay, do you want me to start by saying that? And he goes, absolutely. He says, because I want to warm my mommy's heart.
Cute.
So I said, okay. So I told her that. I told mom. And oh my goodness, that was the right thing to start the session with. Because her response and her husband's response was just beautiful. Oh, and I should say when they called, we were over FaceTime so we can see each other and they were together. So I can see them hold hands and I can see them like sit closer together and lean into each other when they heard that message. And then he says to me, I want to talk about my mom's pregnancy with me. He says, because I want to say thank you for all the things that she did for me to give me the life, the best life she possibly could. So then he goes on and he says, you know, my mom sang to me. And sometimes, like, she would sing her own songs, like the things she liked, like the Backstreet Boys, that kind of thing.
I really do get this woman.
And she sang songs for me. So she would sing lullabies. She would sing kids' songs. She went out and bought kids' music. She bought a little system to put into my room. So she would sing these to me so that when I came to Earth and, you know, as her child, I would already know these songs. And then it got to the point where she would say to her husband, no, we can't listen to that. I don't want him to hear that. And she'd put her hands on her belly like...
Like covering his ears?
She was covering his ears.
That's cute.
Oh my God, it was just freaking adorable. And I told them that. And I went like this. Mm-hmm. I put my hands like around the tummy. And they both looked at each other. There was crying. There was laughter. There was shock. There was all of these beautiful emotions. Because it was accurate. It was all spot on. Then he says, Mom ate everything for me. So as soon as she found out she was pregnant, it was like, oh, no, I can't have. And so she researched to make sure that she knew what she could have and what she couldn't have. And she didn't go back to anything from the moment she knew. It was like, nope, that's the last time I can have that. He also said, as soon as she found out she was pregnant, she showed up at a yoga class for pregnant women. And everybody looked at her like, are you in the right class? Like this. And the yoga teacher asked her and said, oh, this is, you know, my prenatal, for pregnant women class. And she said, yes, I just found out I'm pregnant. Like this. And so the teacher said, oh, okay, good, come on in. But everybody else there was like major pregnant. Mm-hmm. And so she just wanted to be part of the prenatal class right from the very beginning. So he's describing a very dedicated mother. Mm-hmm. But what ended up occurring was that he ended up talking about the fact that after she had him, it wasn't just, how do I do the best for my baby? It became perfectionism. Mm. It got to that point. But let's continue the story. So back to the pregnancy. He told me that she researched everything she could about being healthy in all ways. So she started taking better care of her mental health. She started caring about what she thought. She started caring about the conversations around her. And again, if somebody was saying certain things around her or they were having an argument, she'd put her hands over her belly to give an indication to people like, I'm pregnant and I don't want my child to hear this. Mm-hmm. So she started monitoring conversations, but
PG-13. Yes.
And he said it was phenomenal because what she started to do was she started to realize, oh, somebody's being verbally abusive. I don't want my baby to hear that. But she was starting to set boundaries for her, mm-hmm. which helped her set boundaries where she couldn't before for herself, or she just decided or just didn't do it. But because she decided to get more of an education about what babies and children should be exposed to, she started changing more things in her life and her husband started changing things as well. So anyway, so they got all of those validations about pregnancy. And both of them said, thank you so much. Could you continue, please? What else does he want to say? What does Noam want to tell us? And then Noam says to me, okay, I wanted to say all of that about the pregnancy because the whole point was to thank my mom for such a huge effort to put her health and my health first, and how wanting her health, my health to be most important, ended up helping her move herself in a different direction in life that was good. And that dad got on board. He says, I'm trying to say all of that very clearly to my parents. And then he goes, okay, now the next thing. I was born with medical problems. And he said, so as much as mom did everything she could, I had brain issues. And he said, my body was pretty good, Karen, but because my brain didn't develop to the best of its ability, the way that I moved in my body meant that it didn't look normal. And he said, or it didn't look as healthy as possible. And he said, so what I'm trying to say to my mom today is that she did everything she could. This wasn't on her. But even though she did this beautiful job during pregnancy, this wasn't my path in life, and I was born with some challenges. And he said, so I'm trying to set it straight today, because to this very day, she still blames herself, even though she did all of these things. Even though dad and the people around her that know what she did remind her that she went over the top to make sure that I was born healthy. Mm-hmm. And she's still trying to find ways in her mind. She still ruminates over what she could have done differently, which is really triggering the perfectionism. And this had nothing to do with her. I'm trying to say that was my path. So I told them that, and she looked at me and oh boy, you could see on her face all kinds of torture. Oh my God, did she cry? Mm-hmm. And her husband just sat there and really, like, I saw him. He held on to her. He hugged her. And she just cried. So we had to sit there for quite a while as she listened to that. And then I said, Noam, I said, could you talk to me while they are doing what they need right now? What else is going on, or what else do you want to say? And he goes, well, I'm dead. And I went, what? And he goes, I've passed over. He says, I'm on the other side now. They've lost me. And he said, but what I'm trying to really point out today is that both of my parents did everything that they could for me. And he said, my dad went to therapy. And I said, go on, tell me. He goes, well, he says, once I was born and mom's perfectionism really went into high gear, she was super monitoring and policing him. She was policing everybody, babysitters, daycare workers. Like she would go and say now and have a book and she'd write everything in it. And he goes, which is a good idea, which was
for some things.
Yeah. But she went to an extreme and then she would like quit or take me out of a daycare and move me because one person made one mistake. And then they would have to go and train a new daycare or a new babysitter. Like people just couldn't do things perfectly enough. So he says, what I'm trying to say today is that all of these people did the best that they could and that mom needs to understand this was just my path. And she's still trying to go back in her mind to find where somebody made a mistake.
It's human nature to want control because we want to be able to predict things.
Yeah.
Right? Like this, and I'm saying this on purpose, obviously, because I want people to understand and empathize with mom as well, mm-hmm. that all of us in different areas of our life want to be able to predict how something is going to go, want to believe that our actions we have control over and we can get the outcome that we want, right? And when you come into a situation like this where you can do all the right actions, but you still can't have the outcome that you want, mm-hmm. that puts us into, as you mentioned, what you saw on her face, different kinds of internal torture because, well, if I can't predict this, then what else is outside of my control? What else do I have the risk of losing, right? So this is a life lesson for every single person.
Oh, I was just going to say, and I think anybody listening to this that has parented or grandparented or has been an aunt or an uncle or a friend of somebody that has a child could sit there and go, I need to hear this too, because I have a friend mm-hmm. or I have a daughter-in-law or I have somebody going through something like this and their child has challenges or their child doesn't have any challenges and they still have these issues.
Oh, and it has nothing to do with whether or not you have a child either, right? Like this Fair. Is just about you wanting, you as an individual, me as an individual, wanting to believe that I can control my actions to get the outcome that I want.
Right.
Right? Like that's just how we see life. If I mm-hmm. try out for a sports team, I want to believe that I put 100% effort in. 100% effort should equal a spot on the team. Right. Right?
Or captain.
Whatever. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's coming to terms with the fact that we can't get everything that we want. Mm-hmm. And that has nothing to do with our effort sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Or how much others love us. Mm-hmm. Or how good we are at loving others or caring for them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so good.
And there's like only a certain amount of things that we are kind of more or less comfortable with accepting that's beyond our control. Something like weather, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like it's, you know, we can go, oh, well, the weather wasn't cooperating, so I understand why I didn't get the trip I wanted. And it's like we can relinquish yeah. that. But there's other elements like being born with, you know, certain kinds of, I don't even want to say defects because that's not how I want to word that. Just we were born a certain way and we think, oh, I must have screwed up. And it's like it's a bad math equation.
Mm-hmm. I remember my mom wanting to control the weather because she believed somewhere in her teachings or learnings. As the Catholic, that if you put a rosary on a clothesline, that you could control the weather to have a sunny day.
Which is just so funny to me, given that they believe in God.
Yeah.
That has ultimate control.
And I remember her doing that.
I will trump you with my rosary on a clothesline, sir. Yes. The disrespect.
Yes, and I remember, but in her mind, I totally remember that she did that for her children's weddings in mm-hmm. particular. It was like the morning of the wedding. Oh, and she thought she was being a good mom.
Right.
Like her whole intention was to go out and I'm going to put this rosary on the clothesline mm-hmm. so that we have sunny weather today.
Meanwhile, a farmer is doing something different yeah. to get the rain to come on that day for their crop. And right. it's just like, you humans.
Yes. Oh, I could go on. She took St. Christopher's statue. She dug a hole in the backyard. Right. And she turned them upside down so that you would sell the house.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
I think that's what it was. You know, if I'm wrong, a listener can certainly email us. You know,
but people are getting the point of like how badly we want to control and predict things.
Yes. So let's go back to the husband. So the husband... Noam says that his dad goes to therapy as soon as he's born because he knows this is triggering or causing distress and rumination and issues of wanting to control. And he can see, oh, this is going to go really badly because there are reasons that you have to have control for certain things because of what their child, what their baby was actually going through.
Right.
So a pediatrician had to say, okay, prior to surgery, you do need to do the following things. So there was some very legitimate reasons for control. But he could see that that was then going to keep spilling over into all kinds of other things. But you have to do the diaper this way, or you have to whatever, right? So he goes to therapy, and Noam says, thank God Dad went to therapy, because the therapist was able to give him tools to help and to support his wife in being able to breathe in different ways. So he learned all about polyvagal. Mm. He goes to therapy and his therapist says, okay, you're going to be triggered into your own fight, flight, freeze, and fawn. When your own wife starts hers, she's going to trigger yours. So we have to teach you to be able to breathe differently. So as he does his breathing techniques, she figures out what he's doing because he's sawing. He's doing different things. And he starts to say, okay, let's take a breath together. So it ends up becoming together stuff as opposed to, honey, take a breath, calm the hell down or calm the effed up, right?
No. So you and your sayings. Oh, no one says calm up.
Right?
Speaking of wanting control over this podcast, get your sayings right.
I can't. I am hoping at this point that people that are still tuning in are partly finding the things that are funny about the show, maybe.
I just a throwback for a moment here. We used to have a bingo sheet for Coffee with the Sarlos for regular listeners and a square that included Karen fucks up a common saying.
Yes. That is so true. Yeah, I don't know how come. But anyway, so he goes to therapy and he stays in therapy. And Noam says Dad's still in therapy. But he's figured out that therapy is just is a person with a different set of tools that went out to a university or a college, took courses, and is so interested in getting tools that she's the toolkit. And so he goes to see his therapist for the tools. And then he wants to come back into the relationship or the job or the friendships or being a different son or a different whatever in life, all the roles that he has. He figures out that therapy's just giving me all these tools. Why the hell would I quit? I'm sticking in it until I die, because we need different tools as we get through life. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean necessarily that he's going every single week or every single month, but he goes out and goes back when he realizes I'm not happy or I'm struggling again. Time to go back. So I tell them that, and his dad goes, huh? He goes, I love the fact that my kid knows what I did for him and what I did for his mom and what I did for me. And then he says, in all aspects of my life, because of therapy, I got put into different types of jobs at work because I was seen as somebody who was a problem solver and a cool head.
Cool.
Yeah. And he goes, so he goes, like there was a ripple effect.
Because he learned how to calm up.
He did. Calm down.
It's clam up, by the way.
Clam up, calm down.
Calm the fuck down.
Oh my God. No wonder I'm confused. Okay. Anyway. So Noam's whole session is acknowledging his mom and dad since conception, pregnancy, delivery, and up to his death, thanking them for all of the work that they did, how it impacted them as a couple to make them a better couple, how it, because of his life, how both, oh, Kelly, I forgot one more thing.
Well, I would imagine that you forgot quite a few things because I know there's no way that she had a session where she didn't also get tools. You've talked about her perfectionism. Yeah. You've talked about her control. There's no way the guides didn't give her something next step.
Well, I can't remember that, but I do remember one more thing for sure. He thanked them because when he was born, and I can't remember what the name of the disease was, but I don't want to go there because I want people to be able to think of anything. Mm-hmm. They started a charter in their community to support him in that disease, in that issue. And all of their family, all of their friends got behind it. They raised money. They did donations. They took, how would I say this? They raised money and then donated and bought things with it to help other families.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they didn't just stay in that charter. They did extra things on the side. And some little organization started in his name as a result of it.
Very cool.
And they started this foundation based on his name. And then they started contributing to their community through it. And he said, since he's passed, that they've created so much money now and on such a regular basis because of what's going on in their community and beyond it. So that's how much they've grown, that they are now able to hire somebody where they can pay a salary for somebody to run it.
Very cool.
And they're still involved, but someone else is actually doing a large portion of the work for them, mm-hmm. so that they are freed up now to go into the community to represent that foundation. So they're involved in two. Mm-hmm. So I had to be very specific. It was really, really difficult, Kelly, at the beginning of that, because they knew about the two, so they were trying to see, does he know about the second? Mm-hmm. And I was trying to describe it, and I got so confused because there was an overlap between them, but the mom and the dad were able to figure out by some of the things and the way that he said it that they understood that when I said, now you're going to be able to hire somebody to run that one, they both went, yes, like this, because he was affirming that there were two organizations, mm-hmm. one that they were part of that was someone else's and their own, and that validated that he knew what was going on after death. Mm-hmm. That was absolutely incredible. And he thanked them for what they were doing on his behalf.
It's so funny, especially you, how you label things incredible. Because I'm thinking, like, the first affirmation of him knowing that the first thing she bought was a book was incredible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and it's not to say that the foundation information is not.
Right.
I just, like, yes, it's cool that he knows things after death, but it sounds like he also didn't live very long, right? So
no,
it's like knowing what they did at pregnancy in womb is remarkable as well.
Yeah. And at the end of the session, their time, they booked a half hour, was that he said to them that this was his life path. He was not supposed to live to be a 90-year-old man and bury mommy and daddy. Mm-hmm. He wasn't supposed to be old or they weren't supposed to grow old and he was supposed to take care of them. That wasn't his path. He said, no, I lived a full life and I'm purposely not saying his age of death. Mm-hmm. I'm purposely not. He said, I lived a full life because the purpose of me living was what they are doing for me after my death.
Yeah, I think this is really beautiful, and I'm so glad that you chose this to be the first episode of a new year, because I think, you know, things get renewed, right? Obviously, in the very beginning of a year, and it's like we forget that life, every single day is just a gift, right? It's not promised, it's not guaranteed, and I'm not saying this to offer cliches because people know that we don't like them on principle, basically. But we start to take for granted and think that a life is supposed to equal 90 years or it's supposed mm-hmm. to equal 96 years, and that anything that we don't get that is like anything that isn't 90 years is unfair, taken too soon, and we give it these different labels. And it's like, mm-hmm. you know, why aren't we looking at our 6-year-old thinking today is a gift I might not have tomorrow with them. Not that we live in fear, but that we can live mindfully and in gratitude and present, you know, with these individuals to really fully enjoy the life that we have, whether that's 8 years old or 50 years old, right? Because fullness is arbitrary. Some people, as we know, live to 96 and never understand what fullness really is because they aren't really looking for purpose or meaning, right? And you can have a legacy. I think about Noah in our community, you know, Noah Strong, anyone who's local to Ontario, knows about Noah. And it's just like, that is a full life. Yeah. That is a legacy that he and his family have left behind. And he didn't make it to teens, you know? And the point being, how are you choosing to live on purpose every day with purpose?
Kelly, you brought up such a good example.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing that.
Anyone who knows is nodding their head going, yes, of course, Noah.
Right.
Anyway, I think that's really beautiful.
Oh, and that makes me happy that you did, because I know that family and they're so beautiful.
Yeah. And that entire purpose of, you know, similarly, a foundation left behind.
Right.
To support athletes and specifically empathetic, charismatic leaders in sports, right?
Yeah.
Is a beautiful legacy to leave behind. No matter how old you are, it's something to aspire to. So thank you for this.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlos. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.